We'll welcome everyone to the memorial service for our good friend, Brother Gregory Davis. Thank you all for coming. And, you know, the first thing that I want to say is that the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. And so the Bible tells us that we do not mourn as those who have no hope. The Bible's not saying that we don't mourn at all. Obviously, we're sad when we lose someone and we're going to miss Brother Gregory Davis and others that we've lost. But we don't mourn in the same way as those who have no hope, because we know that Brother Gregory is in heaven. We know that we're going to see him again. And so at an event like this, we want to have a rejoicing time as well. Obviously, there's sadness, but we want to have joy and rejoicing and celebrate the life of Brother Gregory. It's not as if he died young, tragically. You know, he lived his life. God blessed him with 73 years on this earth, and he's in a better place now. He's with the Lord. And so today we just want to celebrate his life, remember him and what he meant to us. And let me just start out by just talking from my own perspective personally. I've known Brother Gregory for a long time. He started coming to church here all the way back in 2009. And so our church was much smaller in those days. We had about 40 people in church at that time. And in fact, for many years, Gregory was the only senior citizen at our church for many years, actually, because our church was mainly younger people in those days. We got a few old timers now, but, you know. Yeah. Well, he was 62 when he started coming, so there you go. There's my definition. So he, when he started coming back in 2009, he was 62 years old. That's when I met him. And he's always been a fun person to have around because he was really a character. And I got to take him out soul winning a couple times. And so that's a good memory that I have of going out soul winning with Brother Gregory. But he was definitely a fun person, a character. And we joked around a lot. Those who've been coming to church here for a long time, sometimes we would joke around during the announcements. He would sometimes kind of pipe up during the announcements, and we'd kind of do a little verbal sparring back and forth and kind of joke around. And, you know, he didn't interrupt a lot or interrupt too much, but like every few months, he would burst out with something during a sermon or during the announcements. And it was always hilarious. It was always fun. It was never annoying. It was always a good time. And so many of you who've been here for many years would remember that. But not only was he faithful to church, but he was also really big on coming to fellowship. So, you know, he would stick around and fellowship. He would talk. That's why most people know him, because he definitely liked to talk. And whenever we held extra events, you know, on a weeknight, or we had any kind of a meal, or, you know, he loved to come and load up on the meals. But also, you know, he would always just come for any kind of a Christmas thing or Thanksgiving thing. He was very social, and so he was really good about fellowshipping. You know, a little bit about his personality. You know, he was really big on conspiracies, big time. That's how he actually found out about our church in 2009, because I appeared on the Alex Jones show. And he was really into natural health and a lot of just alternative medicines and things like that. So one time I was at his house because I was helping him move from one place to another. So, you know, we're packing up his stuff into boxes. Brother Jerry Rodriguez and myself were there. And there was just, we kept finding, because you know when you live in a place for a long time, you accumulate a lot of stuff tucked away. So we just kept finding more bottles of peroxide. It was just so much peroxide, like food grade hydrogen peroxide. And it was like we had like six bottles of it, and then we're moving and digging around. It's like you find three more, four more. And I was like, what is this? What is this for? So he had this like elixir or remedy that he made. He showed me the recipe for it, and peroxide was part of the recipe. And I just remember asking him, like, okay, it's a remedy, but what does it cure? What's it for? And I remember him just looking for a second and thinking, and he just said, everything. So that kind of cracked me up. But he also loved kids. So, you know, when he would come to church, he would definitely greet the kids a lot. And my daughter told me she remembers him always saying to her, "Okie dokie." And he'd always, you know, wave at them and shake their hand. And he definitely loved kids. And so what we want to do today is just give everybody a chance to speak who wants to just kind of tell a story or an anecdote or just say a few words about Brother Davis. And here's the thing, you're not going to be, we are live streaming this for people who can't be here on YouTube, but you're not going to be on camera or anything because we've got the slideshow playing here. That's what's going to play on the YouTube. So we've got a handheld microphone, and so whoever wants to just give a testimony about Brother Davis or just tell a fun story, anything that you remember, we're just going to bring you the mic. And just when you talk into the mic, make sure you hold the microphone like right up to your mouth. Okay, you know, some people are kind of like this with the mic. So just hold it all the way up to your mic, up to your mouth like this. That's the best way to do it. So I already saw Brother Jake enthusiastically put up his hand. So just take a few minutes and be thinking about a story that you want to tell.
So one time during a sermon, one time during a sermon, Brother Gregory Davis's phone went off. And it was ringing, but it took him a while to answer. I didn't know whose it was. And it's kind of like, you know, it has that tension, you know, whose phone is this? And I remember it kept ringing. And then I thought, okay, he's going to go get it. Because then he reached in his pocket and he grabbed it. But then he answered the phone. And he started talking on it. And I remember thinking, I wonder if he knows that that's not okay to do. You know, don't do that. But, you know, the Bible says don't rebuke an elder. So after the sermon, I went over there and I just said, "Brother Gregory Davis, can I show you how to put it in silent?" And, I wasn't going to say don't answer the phone during a sermon. But I said, "Could I show you how to put it in silent?" And he looked at me like, "What?" And I was like, "Put it in silent?" And he was like, "Why would I want to do that?" And I've been thinking, why didn't he know? But I remember thinking, the reason why, it must be because he either loses his phone or maybe it's hard for him to hear it. Or I thought if I put his phone in silent, he may never find his phone ever again. So I didn't want to do that. But I mean, it's just a silly, awkward story. But I remember him when the phone started ringing.
Yeah, I remember that happening a couple times too. And I just jokingly, because he answered, I just jokingly said, "Hey, go ahead and take that. Don't worry." You know. Okay, and then where's Brother Nick? Nick actually flew out here from Texas just to be here today for this. And so let's give Nick a chance to talk.
So Brother Davis was a great friend of mine. He was one of my closest friends here. And we actually had a lot of time to spend together. We used to go on drives and stuff. And he was a great listener and just really easy to talk to, just a really kind-hearted friend. And I kind of found out about the news on accident. I was listening to Pastor Anderson Tuesday at work, and I usually just scroll right through the announcements and just go straight for the sermon. And just something compelled me to listen to the announcements, and I found out about Brother Davis. And so I just wanted to come out. And, I was in Psalm 119 that day reading just for my Bible reading, and he used to always quote it in his prayers. You know, before Pastor Anderson would preach, he would include in his prayer, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And that just warmed my heart, just being in that passage that same day when I found out. And, he was just a great friend and just somebody you could talk to. We'll miss him, but we don't have to mourn like those that have no hope.
So I want to tag on with what Brother Nick just said. My first thing is I'm going to miss Brother Gregory's prayers when he would open for us, because they were anointed. They were, hope I'm holding this to my mouth. So I'll miss that. We got an opportunity to see Brother Gregory Sunday night after church. I'm glad that Pastor Anderson let us know the gravity of the situation, so we did get to say goodbye to him. When we started coming here about seven and a half years ago, the church, as Pastor Anderson said, was a lot smaller, and so you really got an opportunity to shake hands with everybody in church. And Brother Gregory and I had a little ritual or Mexican standoff, you know, where I know when he would shake hands with people, a lot of times he wouldn't let go. And so with he and I, we would just, and we'd squeeze harder and harder and harder. And then we were the same height. Our birthdays are one day apart, and he's exactly 10 years older than me. So he was the oldest guy in the church, and then I became the second oldest, or in his footsteps. So we would just kind of do this every week at least one time, and then he would kind of give me the, like he's taller than me. And we did that for a long time. As the church grew, we didn't see each other as much, but that was always going to be part of the ritual when we greeted one another. So anyway, the other night, when we went to see him, he was, you know, obviously in the condition you would expect someone with only a few hours to live. And he was lucid a little bit, but he wasn't talking. His eyes weren't open. His head was down. You know, he's struggling to breathe a little bit. And we had spent about, you know, a half hour with him. And then Brother Corbin and Brother Caleb showed up with my wife, and I had already been there for about a half hour. We prayed with him and tried, you know, ministered to him, but really hadn't gotten any conversation from him at all. And my wife was on one side of the bed, and I was on the other side of the bed. She was holding one of his hands, and I had his right hand, and my hand was on top of his. And all of a sudden, he just flipped it around, and he started giving, and his eyes looked up, and he started giving me that look that he gave me. And we had our little Mexican standoff one last time, which was really touching and a blessing to me, and it was kind of like his way of just saying, you know, goodbye, brother, and until I see you in heaven, I'll greet you like this in heaven. So we'll miss him.
Yeah, for a lot of you who don't know, he probably opened our service in prayer like 100 times. He would open our services in prayer frequently, and so we're going to miss that as well. Let's see. Brother Segura, I think you said that you wanted to say a few words. Am I right? I got to see him also on Sunday afternoon, and just to see the peace that he had. He had peace. He said, "I have no fear. I'm prepared." And he was very peaceful, and he was just thanking me and saying how much he loved our church. That's what he was telling me on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and I was able to talk to him when he, I think, you know, was very alert. You know, there was no question. He understood, was able to talk, didn't even seem like he had problems breathing. And he said the same thing that Pastor said, "I'm ready." So when I first saw him, he didn't know what was going on. You know, I said, "So what are they telling you?" Three days. I'm like, "Okay, 3 days. Let's just pray." And we just prayed that he would be released in 3 days. And then what happened is I decided to visit him every single day, just kind of help him out if he needed anything. You know, so I decided to visit him every day until they released him. So saw him on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday afternoon I saw him. And that's where I told him, "So how's it going? How's things looking?" And that's where he said, "They told me to prepare to die." So I was like, "Did they really tell you that?" I said, "Yes, they did." So of course he wouldn't be joking about that. So then I told him, well, he's like, "Well, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid." And so that's great. And he was alert. He wasn't just saying things. But then it was what it was. You kind of just realize, oh, man, this is it. You know, but he didn't break. He didn't seem at all like it was a concern to him. He had just a positive look on his face. And he did as best he could to just thank me. My son went with me. So as soon as he saw my son, he stuck out his hand and he shook his hand. And I remember when he first came here, you know, when he first came here, back in, like he said, 2009, because he stuck out like a sore thumb. We didn't have that many people. You know, it's just like, and I wonder, like, hey, is he going to stick around? And I like to see this. So he did. He ended up sticking around. But if I got to give you a funny story, here's a funny story. So he calls me, and I think I was soul winning. I don't remember. But he had called me saying, "Hey, the mechanic called, says my car is ready." But I had taken him to the mechanic to get his car fixed, and it charged him like $80 or whatever. And I told him, "Brother Davis, I can't help you right this second or next hour. I'm out knocking doors, but I can get you an Uber. You know, are you okay with an Uber?" He's like, "Yeah." It's like, "The only thing about the Uber is they require a mask. Do you have a mask?" "Yeah." I'm like, "Okay, I'll get you an Uber." So I send him an Uber, and like 2 hours later, I get an email from Uber saying, "Mr. Christopher Segura, your driver reported that you were not wearing a mask. This is a violation of our policies. If you do this one more time, your Uber account is going to be terminated." And so, of course, I wasn't surprised. Let me just tell you that. I was not surprised. And I was like, "Yep, that's Brother Davis. He ain't going to wear a mask for no one, you know." So that was my funniest story that I could remember as far as, you know, me interacting with him. But yeah, that just made me laugh. And I figured, you know what? If you ask me again, this time I'm going to use Lyft because I really like Uber.
All right. Anybody else want to talk about? All right. Amanda.
So Brother Davis was a very kind man. He, I used to give him a ride back and forth to church when he would have some car trouble because it was kind of on the way. And we would just talk and have a great time. And he was always very encouraging if I was, you know, having a rough time with something. He, you know, would encourage me and, you know, just talk me through things and just very kind. And he was always very funny, though. He would always, he loved his Subway sandwich made in a certain way. And he had to have a cookie with it, right? So he would tell me the ingredients in list order of how he wanted it. And so he'd say, hey, can we stop at Subway on the way home from church? I'm like, sure. So he would always send me into the Subway, and I had to get a sandwich made in a certain way. And then sometimes I would call and check on him. Hey, Brother Davis, you okay? Do you need anything? Yeah, can you give me some Hot Pockets? And then... When it would be Donut Sunday, he would always say, now, Amanda, don't forget me on Sunday. You know I need that ride, and it's Donut Sunday. So he was always just cracking jokes. And when I got married and had the babies, Caleb, we were still giving him a ride. That was before we moved to Maricopa. He would always count his toes. Brother Davis was very much into math, and so he would say, have this boy count his fingers and his toes, and he'll be a mathematician in no time. And, you know, just things like that. He was just a fun gentleman to be around, you know.
All right, thank you. Yeah, Amanda was there all the way back in 2009 when he came, so she's known him for a long time. A lot of us have known him for a long time. Who else?
I'm surprised no one has noticed or mentioned it yet, but he wiggled his ears a lot. So he would shake your hand and he wouldn't let go, and you would look up at him wondering what's going on, and then his ears are just wiggling back and forth.
That's funny because I never saw the ear wiggling thing. I'm totally unfamiliar with that.
I'm glad someone mentioned his wiggling ears. Yeah. And I'm his brother, Brad, and sister, Margaret, the eldest of our crew, and his niece, Tiffany, and we have other family members out here somewhere, and I haven't spotted them just yet. But the ear wiggling was a lifelong thing with Greg. Now, it was funny when we were in high school, and he could show everybody that he wiggles his ears. But then we're progressing into later life. We're going into restaurants, maybe with a suit on, and then a waitress would come up, and it would never be the guys, and that's the reason I think you and your other pastor never saw him wiggle their ears. He always did it for the ladies. And so you're sitting there just trying to have a meal, and out of the blue, he would say, you want to see me wiggle my ears? Yeah. This is the entirety of his entire life. I'm kidding you not. It didn't just start here. But then, when someone would say, well, yes, you know, pretty young girl, and then if they were really transfixed, he would say, do you want to touch one? I am not kidding. Now, after a while, it got me really angry. And towards the end of our active relationship, I moved to Texas three decades ago. And it wasn't to get away from my brother, though, but just the way it worked out for me. But the point is that you go back and you go, now, Greg, you got to promise you're not going to wiggle your ears. And, and you go, okay. And he'd do it anyway. And so then you realize it was out of control. I wanted to share with this fellowship some things you might not know. Someone picked up on, one of the young ladies back here picked up on the idea that he is really into math, and that started at a very young age. Some of you might be aware of what a ham radio operator is back in the days of a Morse code, which has now been officially declared void. And that's how people would communicate over a shortwave radio. The signal would bounce over the ionosphere, and you used a series of dots and dashes. It was kind of like the early data communication. In any event, it took a lot of skill. It was kind of like Braille reading with your ear, dot, 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 dash, and that represented letters. And as a teenager, he set it up in our laundry room. He had his transmitter, he had his antenna, and most kids, of course, go to sleep at night. At night, the atmospheric bounce is at its greatest point. The only reason I learned that is because I'm his brother. And so he'd be up there in the middle of the night talking to people from all over the world, and they would send their call cards back to him. And that was the thing with ham radio operators. So as a teenager, he did that. As later in life, he became an accountant, but not the usual path. He bumped into a gentleman by the name of Bob Mitchell, who was a CPA in Phoenix. And he soon learned everything Bob could teach him and more. He had his own practice after that. He had never had 1 hour of college in his entire life. From there, he went to raising money through tax shelters. From there, one of the clicks on here is a picture of his prospectus. He raised enough capital to buy a mining company, Gila Mine Corporation in Nevada. From there, he employed relatives. In fact, one of my nieces was born in Nevada because her father worked up there in the middle of nowhere working for the Gila Mine Corporation. Later, he got into employee leasing for different companies. And later, he got into another payroll service. And then his last entrepreneurial effort was owning a payroll service company. And this is from a man that didn't have 1 hour of college education. And he was a lifelong conservative, influenced me at a young age to understand some of the ideas. And when the pastor mentioned about Greg's conspiracy theories, I was right there with him. I heard about it a long time ago. You want to talk about the Illuminati? I got it down. That all came from Greg Davis. And so he was unique in every way. He has been that way consistently his entire life. His sister sitting here can testify to everything I've just said. Would you say that's not true, Margaret?
That's quite true, quite true. He had two jobs early in life that you might not suspect. All right, the very first one, he was an entrepreneur. We wanted ice cream sandwiches. And we were only about, I don't know, maybe 12 and 9. And where we lived, there were trees all over which had worms on them. And these worms would harm the trees. So Greg got the idea that we would pick these worms off the trees and put them in jars. And then take them up to the door and ask the people if they would like to purchase the fact that these have been taken off the trees. If they didn't, we could put them back on the tree. So that was the first effort I remember. And then I do remember he worked as a dishwasher in high school. So, but anyway, I thought you'd like that, to know that.
All right, anyone else? Want to make sure everybody gets a chance? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I used to get a double dose of Gregory Davis because obviously I go to church here, but he was also one of my regular customers at work. So he would come into work, you know, at least once a week, and I'd help him out. So, oh, it's at a health food store in Mesa. So you mentioned, you know, Pastor mentioned that he was into natural health and natural remedies and that kind of thing. So one day he was in there and I was helping him out, and there was this prostate medication that he would take. You know, it's a supplement. So I was helping him with it, and he said, yeah, I take this and it helps me sleep. And I'm thinking, this is for prostate. How does this help you sleep? And he goes, yeah, I take 6 of them before I go to bed, and then I can go all night without having to get up to take a pee. So I thought, okay, well, that makes sense. But, you know, by the way, that's 2 capsules you're supposed to take of that. But he would take 6, apparently. So I guess if it works good, 2 work good, then 6 work, you know, even better. But. And, Yeah, and one more thing is, like, when I was checking him out, a lot of my interaction happened at work with him, so I've talked to him a little bit at church, but so he was very particular that I had to take every single wrapper, you know, plastic wrapper off the top, because he just struggled with that, and I think we all do to a certain extent, but so I would cut those off for him, and then I had to write down each thing that he bought. I had to write down what it was on the receipt, because I think he had some deal going where he figured out a way to write it off on his taxes. So that's anyway, he was good with numbers, obviously. So.
Yeah, if there was any way possible to write it off, I'm sure he figured out how to do it. He was always coming to me with just every loophole, and you know, anytime I'd get it, if I mentioned I got a traffic ticket, he'd just be like, "You don't pay that ticket," you know. he had all these instructions for how to get out of it and everything. So I'm sure a lot of you probably had that same experience with him, where he would try to get you money off your taxes and everything. So, what's that?
I was saying that was definitely
great. Yeah. Oh yeah. So who else would like to say a few words about Brother Davis? Maybe even if you've already spoken, if something jogged your memory and you want to say a little more? All right.
Yeah, Brother Gregory, we served ice cream in the church. And so Mrs. Anderson always said, only one ice cream per person. And of course, I'm the type of person where if Mrs. Anderson says it, I'm going to enforce it. So then Brother Gregory would come up and he'd want another ice cream. And I'd go, and finally I'm like, no, Brother Gregory, Mrs. Anderson only said one per person. So then finally I went to Mrs. Anderson. And then I believe Mrs. Anderson went to Pastor. And Pastor said, Brother Gregory can have as many ice creams as he wants. So then from that day on, I knew Brother Gregory could have as many ice creams as he wanted.
That's true. He did get a lot of special privileges, you know. Plus, there were a lot of times after a service when I would just give him an ice cream just for no reason. So he definitely got the most ice creams. Anybody else? Just want to make sure nobody's left out at all. Going once. All right, very good. So I'm going to go ahead and just give a few thoughts from the Word of God. We do have a big lunch coming up here at noon, because it would not be right to remember Brother Gregory without serving food, because he loved it when we would serve food and have meals. That was always a big thing for him. He never missed it. And so we're going to have a meal starting in about 20, 25 minutes here. But let's open our Bibles, if we would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll give some thoughts from Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And we'll start reading there in verse number 51. The Bible reads, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And the reason that I wanted to talk about this is simply because of the experience that we had with Brother Gregory in the few days leading up to his death. This was what he emphasized to us, was, "I'm ready. I'm prepared. I don't have any fear. You know, it's my time to go." And he was not dreading anything, but he had lived his life and was ready to go to be with the Lord. And so that's what stood out to myself. That's what stood out to Brother Segura. And you know, the Bible here says, "Oh death, where is thy sting?" And you know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 2 that many people in this world that are not saved, the Bible says that through fear of death, they are all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, being scared of death is something that most people in this world feel because they don't know Jesus Christ, their Savior, or maybe they're not 100% sure that they're going to heaven when they die. And so obviously that is a scary thing. But the Bible tells us that through Christ, we have victory over death, to where death has no sting to us and the grave has no victory. And, you know, this is why at a memorial service like this, you know, even though obviously there are going to be some tears, obviously all of us are getting choked up at times, you know, during these stories. But the reason that we're also laughing and enjoying and having a good time is because of the fact that we know that he has just graduated to heaven. And it's not a situation where it's just all doom and gloom and sadness. And so we don't mourn like those who have no hope, because Jesus Christ has conquered death. And we know that Brother Gregory is saved and that he's in heaven. Now, how do we know that Brother Davis is in heaven? How do we know that? You know, is it because he's such a great guy? Because he was so faithful to church? Now, he certainly was a great guy and he certainly was faithful to church. He definitely loved the Lord. But that's not why he's in heaven. Because the Bible makes it crystal clear what it is that gets us into heaven. And it's simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why I know that Gregory's in heaven is because Gregory believed in Jesus. It's that simple. You know, the Bible tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one." I'm not righteous. You're not righteous. And Gregory wasn't righteous. You know, we're all sinners. Nobody's perfect. But yet the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he died on the cross for all of our sins. When Jesus was on that cross, every sin that I've ever done, every sin that you've ever done, every sin that Gregory had ever done, was placed upon Jesus Christ. And it was as if Jesus had done it. And he paid that ultimate penalty for our sin. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. And then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. Bodily, he showed the disciples the holes in his hands and the hole in his side, just to show that it was really him and that he had really risen from the dead. But just because Jesus Christ died on the cross for every single person, that does not mean that every single person is going to heaven. You know, I would love to be able to get up here and tell you, "Hey, guess what? Everybody in the whole world is going to heaven." But that is simply not true. The Bible says, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So the broad way leads to destruction. The narrow way leads unto life. But what is that narrow way? That narrow way, the Bible tells us, is faith in Christ. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now look, it's easy to see how somebody like Gregory could get saved, because he loved to get stuff that's free. All right? So if you think about it, you know, when we think of Gregory, he loved free stuff. I mean, if there's a free meal, he's there. Any kind of a loophole where he could get something for free, mail a letter for free, don't have to use a stamp, he was all over that. And here's the thing. This is why the gospel was easy for him to accept, because it's free. It's a free gift. Sounds great. And, you know, you'd think that everybody would be the same way. You'd think everybody would want that free gift, wouldn't you? That it's just so easy. You know, Jesus Christ, he did everything. I mean, he lived a perfect life that none of us could live. The Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. None of us could say that. I mean, we're constantly falling short and doing wrong and making mistakes. Jesus Christ lived the perfect life that none of us could live. And then when he died on the cross, he took the sins of the whole world upon him. And when we believe in Jesus, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, all those good works that Jesus did get put onto our account. You also think of Gregory as an accountant. And that's what he did by trade. And so he was a math expert. He was an accountant. And the Bible uses a lot of accounting language to talk about the gospel. You know, it talks about our sins when we believe on Jesus Christ not being imputed unto us or not being reckoned as. You know, you think of the word computer. It comes from the same root word as impute. So the Bible is saying, you know, that our sins that we commit are not imputed unto us. They don't count against us. They don't go into that debit column of our ledger. But not only that, Jesus' righteousness, all the good things that he did, the good works that he did while he was on this earth, that stuff gets credited to our account. The righteousness of Christ gets imputed unto us. That is salvation. That's how the Apostle Paul describes it in Romans when he talks about imputed righteousness. Jesus talked about over and over again how you have to believe on him to be saved. You know, the most famous verse in the whole Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Not whosoever is good enough, not whosoever checks all the boxes, goes to church, gets baptized, reads the Bible, prays, puts money in the plate. None of those things have anything to do with getting us to heaven. It's that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. The Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And we think about the fact that Gregory put all of his faith and trust in Christ. He believed in Jesus. He didn't think that he was going to heaven because he was a perfect person or because he was a great Christian, but he knew that he was going to heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross. And that's how he had that assurance. That's how we have that assurance, where we know where he is. We don't have to wonder, well, I don't know, let's look at everything good about Gregory's life and let's look at all the negatives and you know, I wonder if he's going to make it. You know, we don't have to think about anything negative. You know, we can just remember everything positive and good, because you know what? Everything that's negative is forgiven and forgotten. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You know, when Gregory went to heaven on Monday night and stood before Christ, it wasn't a nervous appointment. Like, oh man, you know, I got some explaining to do or anything like that. But you know what? If I had to give account for all of my sins and everything that I've done wrong in my life, I'd be pretty nervous for that meeting, wouldn't you? I mean, I'd be pretty nervous, you know, in the waiting room before going to see the Lord. But you know, the Bible tells us that our sins and iniquities are forgiven and forgotten. What a blessing, you know, to think that going to heaven can be only good, only joy, it's only reward. Now look, some people are going to get a big reward. Some people are only going to get very little reward. Some people will get no reward, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But you know what though? Even getting to heaven with no reward, you're still in heaven. You're still experiencing eternal bliss with the Lord. And you're still living forever. And it's a great blessing. And I'm certain that Brother Gregory will receive rewards for his good works while he was on this earth. But the great thing to know is that going to heaven is not a dread thing. There's no sting. It's not going to burn. You know, it's something that's only joy. Now, it's sad for those that are left behind and we're going to miss him. But for Brother Gregory, it's all joy. It's all blessing. And so it's great to have that assurance. Another great verse that I like to think of at times like this is Psalm 116, verse 15, where the Bible reads, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know, precious means of great value. It comes from the word price. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The Bible also tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. You know, the Bible says the day of your death can be better than the day of your birth. It can be a blessed day. You know, you think of the Apostle Paul getting to the end of his life and saying, I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. All them also that love his appearing. You know, obviously, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us is perfect. And many times the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But you know what we could say about all of us that have believed in Jesus is that we all love Jesus. Even if we're backslidden, even if we're walking in the flesh, even if we're not keeping his commandments, and so in that sense, we're not showing our love for Christ. But here's the thing, deep down, the inward man, the new creature, the regenerate man, you know what? We all love his appearing. And so we all love the Lord. We all believe on Jesus Christ. And that is what it's about. Not necessarily a question of, hey, you know, how much good did we do? How much bad did we do? No, look, that's important. Obviously, God wants us to do right. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And there are going to be rewards in heaven based on how well we did on this earth. We're going to be rewarded. But when it comes to salvation, it is not a question of how good you are, or none of us would be going to heaven. I'll tell you right now that if salvation were based on how good we are, I'm not going. Okay? But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Thank God for his grace and for salvation by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And let's go again, if we would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll finish there. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Comfort one another with these words. Now, this passage is often preached just as a teaching about what it's going to be like at the second coming of Christ. Or, you know, when you're hearing sermons on end times Bible prophecy, this is going to be one of the number one passages that's preached. And one thing about Brother Gregory is he loved end times prophecy because it kind of goes hand in hand with the Illuminati stuff and the conspiracies and things. So he really liked Bible prophecy. That was a big thing for him. And that's why one of the ways that we'll always remember him as well is we have the DVD series on the book of Revelation, the 22-part series on Revelation. It's on YouTube. It's on DVD. And it's a professionally made film, and it often cuts to shots of people that are in the crowd listening, really high-quality camera. And you will see Gregory a lot in that series. Who knows what I'm talking about, where you've seen Gregory in that. Yeah, almost every hand is up. So that's a good way that he's been immortalized, is when you watch that series constantly. You see him, and it's funny that you chose, I don't know if you chose to sit there on purpose, but that's his seat right there, that red, did you know that? Yeah, that's his seat, that lazy boy recliner. He always sat in that chair. So in the Revelation series, you always see him sitting in that red chair. And I remember in the early, now we have a lot of kind of rocking chairs around the auditorium that are for like the mothers, the pregnant ladies, and with their babies and the nurslings. So we have those in every row. But what you have to understand is that back when Gregory first started coming, we didn't have that. We only had about 40 people in our church. We didn't have the recliners or the rocking chairs. We just had this one lazy boy, and that was his chair. And so he would come, and he would sit in that. It originally actually belonged to Amanda's mom. She was the original occupant of, we bought that chair for her, but then there was a time when she was going to a church that was closer to her area, and so when Gregory showed up, there was a vacancy. He got in there and took advantage of that vacancy, and that was his chair, I mean, officially for a long time. He would sit in that chair. So you get to see him in that Revelation series on the edge of his seat, Bible in hand, hanging on every word. He loved sermons on prophecy. He loved end times prophecy. And this is one of the most popular passages. But actually, when you look at this passage, the primary application, besides being a great end times passage, is that it's a passage telling us not to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, so that we don't sorrow as others which have no hope. He said, look, I want you to know what happened to your Christian loved ones that have gone on. I want you to know that there's going to be a great reunion someday where you're going to be reunited with them. Now, the interesting thing about this passage is that it says that those which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So when it's talking about Christ returning, it talks about him bringing them with him. But then it also says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, these two things are not the same, are they? Because, you know, God bringing them with him, that's coming from heaven. But then the dead in Christ rising first, that's obviously coming from the earth. So what's going on in this passage? Well, here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For the believer, of course, in context, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. You know, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. And so when we study the Bible, we realize that when a person dies who's saved, they don't just kind of lay in the ground and wait for that resurrection day, but rather they're immediately with the Lord in heaven, not physically, not bodily, but their soul goes immediately to heaven. So when a believer dies, boom, their soul goes to heaven. You know, the Bible talks about in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, talks about how Lazarus was carried by the angels immediately into Abraham's bosom or to Abraham's side or to be embraced by Abraham. And so, you know, right away, when the believer dies, when the person who has believed on Christ dies, their soul immediately goes to be with the Lord in heaven. But obviously their body is left behind here on this earth. And that body is going to decay. It's going to decompose. And you know, it depends on when that person passes away, how much of that's even going to be left, obviously, you know, 1,000 years later or 2,000 years later or whatever. That's not the point. The point is that the soul is in heaven with the Lord, meeting with those who've gone on before. But then eventually there's going to be that great resurrection day at the second coming of Christ. And when the second coming of Christ happens, we read this in 1 Corinthians 15, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And what does that mean to be changed? Well, the Bible told us in 1 Corinthians 15 that the corruptible body is changed into an incorruptible body. Corruption changes to incorruption. And the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 3 that Christ shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That physical body, that corrupted body in the ground, is going to be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye, and it's going to be a bodily resurrection of the saved, in a brand new healthy body. You know, no supplements required. You sleep through the night, no issue, right? Actually, there's no night there, right? You don't have to worry about it. But, you know, one of the things about Gregory is that he had a lot of health problems. You know, ever since I've known him, and he told me it was because he had a car accident earlier in life, was one of the reasons that, you know, sometimes you have something like that happen to you, and you're never quite the same afterward. It seems, you know, we go through our life, and we accumulate damage to our body throughout our life. And even me, I'm only 39 years old, but I've accumulated a lot of just permanent damage to different parts of my body. And, you know, he got in a bad car wreck, and he wasn't quite the same after that. He had other health-related problems. But, you know, right now he's up in heaven, pain-free, injury-free, sickness-free in heaven, his soul. But one day he's actually even going to be bodily, physically resurrected, and he's going to be the same Gregory Davis, but he's going to be in a completely incorruptible body. You know, brand new body, completely healthy, without any problems or pain or sickness or any issues. And so that's why this verse kind of is coming from both directions. You know, hey, your loved ones that you've lost, they're going to come with him. Jesus is going to bring them with him because he's bringing the souls with him. And then the bodies are going to be resurrected. And boom, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, they're going to be changed. And then the Bible says that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we're actually going to be caught up together with them at the same time. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, you know, if one of us passes away before the second coming of Christ, we will be immediately reunited with all of our loved ones up there. We'll get to see the Lord himself, and we'll also get to see Gregory and all our other friends and all our other relatives that have gone there before us. And if we happen to be living in the generation that happens to be the one where Christ returns, then we will also be at that exact same reunion where the resurrection takes place, and we get caught up in the clouds to be with them in the air. And the Bible says comfort one another with these words. You know, it's comforting to know that. The word comfort is such a great word. It's not just talking about sitting in a lazy boy. I mean, that's a kind of comfort, right? But there's another kind of comfort that is a strength. You know, you think of where we get the word fort or fortress. It comes from the same root word as comfort. Being comforted means we're strengthened, means that we don't lose hope, we don't despair, but we have strength to go through painful times, sad times, times where we miss loved ones. We're comforted by the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And if Jesus rose from the dead, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, guess what? They're going to rise as well. He's the first fruits of them that slept. And afterward, those that are Christ at his coming will also be resurrected in much the same way. And so today, we remember the life of Brother Gregory, all the fun times that we had with him, all the laughs and all the joy that he brought to our church. And not just, and you know, we joke around a lot because he was a character and he joked around a lot. But it's, as Brother Madison pointed out, though, you know, there was a depth there spiritually as well, you know, leading us in prayer. And there was a deep love for the Lord in the man. And so we're very thankful for everyone who came today to either, maybe you didn't know him and you're kind of getting to know him, you're seeing the pictures, you're hearing the stories, you're getting a feel for him. And for those of us that knew him, just to take some time to remember and rejoice and be comforted for this loss to our church, to family, and to anyone else who knew and loved Gregory. And so with that, I'm going to close this in prayer. We're going to sing one more song, and then don't go anywhere because the food is going to get here any minute, and we're going to enjoy a great meal together. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for Brother Davis, Lord, the time that we had with him. I'm very thankful that I got to know him over these last 12 years. And he was an encouragement. The Bible says that laughter doeth good like medicine, and he definitely brought us a lot of smiles, a lot of laughs, a lot of joy. We're going to miss him, but we thank you so much for saving him and giving him a home in heaven. And Lord, we know that we will see him again one day and we will greet him in glory. Thank you so much for that assurance. But Lord, if there's anybody here today that is not sure that they're going to heaven and they don't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they would get that settled before it's eternally too late so that they can see him once again. And most importantly, so that they could see you in glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn in our songbooks to 244.